Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I was just thinking that little liner says, always expect something good in your lunch hour. That could kind of sum up our attitude about life, I think, doesn't it, Matt? That we are always expecting something good.
Exactly.
And maybe we shouldn't always be expecting something good. I mean, it sounds almost like we're demanding, maybe? I don't know. But we want to talk today a little bit about the greener grass conspiracy, finding contentment on your side of the fence. And I don't know if you have wrestled with discontentment, because that seems to be prevalent in our world today. And everywhere we turn, the world's offering us better. There's happiness just around the corner if we buy that latest technology. And, you know, based on my observation of my producer, Matt Reynolds, using his technology, he doesn't seem like he's all that happy, really, to me. So maybe there's just a misunderstanding of how to use it. But anything from Success Ladder or the latest teeth whitening fads. We just want to talk a little bit about it today. How do we accept where we are and find joy where God has us today? And to help us with that discussion, I want to welcome Stephen Altrogi to the microphone. Stephen is a pastor at the Sovereign Grace Church in Indiana, PA. His duties include leading worship, working with college students, and he's also written a number of worship songs and been included in the Sovereign Grace Ministries albums. Used to be, I think, PDI. The PDI worship band, Stephen, is that what it was before?
Or? Yeah, PDI Ministries, PDI, and then it became Sovereign Grace Ministries.
Written a lot of great music that I've enjoyed over the years, and we'll maybe even play a piece here at the end of the show. But Stephen, welcome. Great to have you with us here on Connecting Faith.
It's great to be with you, Neil. Thanks for having me.
You've written a book called Game Day for the Glory of God, a guide for athletes, fans, and wannabes. But that's not really what this is about, the greener grass conspiracy. Is there any relation from to this book to the sports book?
Well, I would say that there's always some relation between what I'm writing. Mainly, I kind of just tend to write out of my own experiences, kind of what I'm currently wrestling with, currently dealing with. I love sports, so that's why I wrote some on sports. And I've always had a personal battle with discontentment just in lots of different areas. So it became an area that I wanted to study God's Word about and see what it had to say. And that's what led me to write the book.
Well, I think you're not alone in the area of discontentment. I mean, it is pretty much a rampant problem, I think, and maybe not just here in our country, but around the world.
Yeah, I think that every person deals with some level of discontentment. We can always envision a better future for ourselves, and there's not necessarily anything inherently wrong with that, I think. God wants us and gives us the ability to work toward a better future. That's a blessing we have. But I think at times we can very easily slip into being discontent where we are right now, and we can dismiss all the good things that God has for us right where we are.
Why don't we define, I guess, contentment as you talk about it in the greener grass conspiracy?
The way I try to think about contentment is, contentment is, or at least biblical contentment, is freely and joyfully submitting to God's will, whatever that will may be. And that's just from the get-go, I recognize that's a very difficult definition to come to terms with. And I don't by any means have this down. I don't have it like I'm not some expert on this. I'm just in the thick of it, just trying to think through it, help other people think through it. But I think the definition we should work from is learning to submit to God's will freely and joyfully, just wherever that is, whatever he has us doing, whether that be in good times, bad times, happy times, sad times. It's challenging, but I think that's what the Bible calls us to.
We spend a lot of time, I guess, with that other C word, contentment. We talk about circumstances because I guess we always assume that our contentment is probably based on circumstances.
I think that that's our natural tendency. I know for me it is. I think we can easily look at our life, and if things are going generally well, I think we can, you know, be moderately content. I think when things can get difficult, or when something isn't going the way that we had hoped or we had planned, or our dreams aren't quite panning out like we had hoped, I think that's when we can easily get discontent. And we can think, I think we can buy into the lie that contentment is primarily a circumstances problem. And if only my circumstances would change, then I would finally be content. So this applies in all kinds of different areas. I think relationships are an area, job is an area, money is an area, health is an area. I mean, just all across the board. And I think we can believe that if something would change, then I could be content. When what the Bible says is that in Christ, we can be content in any and all circumstances, which is really a pretty incredible promise.
Well, and it's... You know, it sounds good, I guess, on the surface. I mean, we know it to be true, but I guess as we spend some time together, we can maybe unpack that, what that really looks like. As, you know, Paul talked about, he learned to be content, so maybe some lessons to learn there. But, you know, maybe to back up a bit before that, I mean, does God want us to be happy? And you know, should we experience contentment just simply because we're children of God?
Absolutely. I would not want anyone to come away with this mistaken notion that God doesn't want us to be happy. I believe God wants us to be very, very happy. I think the key point is, though, that God wants us to be happy in Him first and foremost, and He offers us joy and happiness and satisfaction that we can't find in any other thing, in any other person, in any other place. And I think God wants us to be much happier than we are. I think He would probably say to us, and the Bible would say to us, you're not joyful enough. You don't have enough joy in your life. And God has lots more joy in store for us. I think the thing that we can sometimes miss is that God knows exactly what will make us joyful and what will make us happy and will satisfy us. And we have our own ideas about what will do that, but God always knows exactly what we need.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, God being that we're not the center of the universe, but how we often sort of set up idols, I guess, in place of God.
Yeah, I think all of us, I think every person a lot of times operates, and I know I do this all the time, it's kind of silly when I think about it, but we sort of operate like we are at the center of the universe, as if things should go exactly according to our plan, according to our agenda. And, you know, we live in the United States. I live in the United States where we're very big into planning things and I don't know how much of this is cultural, but we tend to be in an agenda culture. We have an agenda for ourselves, an agenda for our meetings, an agenda for our lives. And I think we can sometimes forget that really we're not at the center of the universe, that the world doesn't revolve around us, and that ultimately everything revolves around God, and that He can do with us as He pleases. He's God. I'm not God. He made me, and He owns me, and He bought me with the blood of Jesus, and so He gets to do with me as He chooses. I don't get to tell Him how things should be.
You do talk about, though, how we do establish sort of idols that rob us of contentment, really.
Yeah, we do, and it's really sad. We set up these things in our life that we give love and a level of love and affection and passion for that really surpasses our love for God. And lots of times these are good things. You know, I think of the example of marriage. I know I get to work with college students, and I know a lot of them are thinking about relationships and about marriage, and marriage is a wonderful gift. I'm married. I have two little girls, and marriage is one of the greatest gifts that God gives, I think. But I think what can happen is when we make marriage the greatest thing and the most important thing to us, and really put anything else in that, it could be anything, when something becomes more important than God, we have created, in a sense, an idol that we are worshiping in place of God. And the reality is, even when we get what we want, a lot of times we're still not satisfied, because God wants us to be satisfied in Him, to worship Him alone, for Him to have the highest place of honor in our lives. And so you're right, we do set up these idols in our life that rob us of the true joy God wants us to have.
So have you found, you mentioned your marriage, you have a couple of kids, and there's always opportunity to collect more stuff. I mean, you really kind of need it with your kids, and we are all subject to the wonderful world of advertising. And we kind of accumulate more stuff, but is it the attitude of which we pursue it that really makes the difference?
Yeah, I think it really does. I think there's nothing inherently wrong necessarily with things. We need a place to live. We need cars. We need ways to get around. We need these things to live our lives. I think that what matters the most, I think you're really hitting on it well, is the heart attitude with which we pursue things. And is my heart first and foremost set on following God, loving God, delighting in God, and enjoying His gifts, but really holding them loosely and not giving them the highest priority in my life? Because it's not necessarily wrong for me. Even things like, I think we can, look at things like, well, is it wrong to get a bigger house? Is it wrong to have a second television or a third or whatever? We have all these things that we can ask. And I think what's most important is what is going on in our hearts. Are we saying, I have to have these things? I'm not going to be happy until I have these things. Or are we saying, Lord, I would like these things, but I know that I have all that I need to be happy in You, and if I could get this, it would be great, but I want to hold it loosely. So I think the attitude makes a big difference.
Stephen Del Troge is my guest. Stephen is on the pastoral staff at Sovereign Grace Church, Indiana, Pennsylvania, and he leads worship there, works with college students, has written a couple books. We're talking about his latest, called The Greener Grass Conspiracy, Finding Contentment on Your Side of the Fence. And be interested in finding out some thoughts from you as you are listening with us today. What are you doing to pursue contentment? Or are there times when you have experienced discontentment in your life? And how have you worked through it? Have you got some answers for us? I'd love to hear your story, your testimony, maybe your area of struggle. And you would like to just find out from Stephen about some certain situations and how you might respond. Coming up in just a moment, we'll talk about learning to be content. Paul talked about that, and we'll let Stephen kind of unpack that a bit for us today. But love to have you on the conversation as well. 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. And you give us a call here. We'll put you in a drawing for the book. You can have the resource here today and find out how to fight against the greener grass conspiracy. So you can give us a call, and we'll put your name in the drawing for that. 877-93-FAITH is the number as we talk more about the greener grass and finding contentment just ahead on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and it's 19 past the hour. My guest is Stephen L. Troge. Stephen and his father, Mark, have written a number of great songs. I Stand in Awe, one of those classics. Stephen, is writing music something that came naturally to you, something that you, sort of the family business? I guess that's probably not the right way to put it. But
I understand that way of thinking of it. I don't know if I would say it came somewhat naturally to me. I mean, I grew up listening to all kinds of different music, and I always had an interest in writing music, but it definitely has been something I've really had to work at too, and I think that's the way it is with all things that you work at creating something. If you're going to create something that's of good quality and I think honoring to God, I think you have to work at it. So there's definitely a element where something comes naturally, but I also had to work a good amount at it too. And of course, having my dad to help me was a huge help too.
Sure. Well, we want to talk about working toward contentment, because there is some work in progress there as well. Paul talked about that in Philippians, right? Just, we're talking, by the way, with Stephen L. Troge. The book is called The Greener Grass Conspiracy, Finding Contentment on Your Side of the Fence. And we're interested in finding out from you today about how you've maybe found contentment, or some of the times when you've been discontent. And was there a circumstance or situation that, or maybe it was just spending some time in God's Word, or a friend that came along and encouraged you? We'd love to have you join the conversation. You can do that with a phone call at 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We've got three copies of the book that we can give away, so we'd love to be able to pass that on to you. You would join our conversation. So, Stephen, let's talk about how we learn to be content. What can we learn from the Apostle Paul's learning?
Well, I think when we read through the story and the life of the Apostle Paul, it's funny, I think we can have this image of him almost as if he was not quite sinless, but pretty close to sinless, you know, because we think, oh, here's the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. He shared the gospel with thousands of people. He was this incredible Superman for Jesus. But when you read the book of Philippians, one thing that I found really interesting and also very helpful was that Paul said that he had learned the secret of being content in all circumstances. And I think that word learned is very helpful, because what it implies is that Paul wasn't always content, and that God had to take him through different circumstances to teach him how to be content, different trials to teach him what it meant to be content in all things. And to me, the promise and possibility of being content in every circumstance, that's just mind-blowing, because I'm not there. I don't operate like that. But it's encouraging to me to see that, you know what, Paul also had to learn, and God had to teach him how to be content. It's not just something that naturally happens in us. God has to teach us this thing to be content.
So is it God doing his work in us, or is it us doing the work ourselves? I know you talk about, you know, that God isn't a football coach when it comes to contentment.
I think it's both. I think that because God loves us and he is our Father, he carefully crafts situations for us that are going to help us learn contentment. And when I said, God's not like a football coach, what I meant by that is, it's not like God is just putting us through pain just for the sake of putting us through pain. It's not like he's just saying, you know, suck it up, come on, tough it out, you got to be tough. God loves us, we're his children, and he delights in us, and I think because he wants to give us this wonderful blessing of contentment, he will craft circumstances, handcraft circumstances just for us, that will force us to learn contentment in him, that will press us into him. And our job then is to respond to those circumstances by pressing into God through prayer, by drawing near to him, asking him for contentment, confessing our discontentment. And so I think it's both. I think it's God working, and I think it's us cooperating with God.
And certainly, I guess, confessing our discontentment is one of the key steps, isn't it, to recognize that this is maybe a natural response in many ways.
Yeah, I think it's very important that when we recognize that we are discontent, when we find ourselves grumbling or complaining, that we just tell, God already knows we're discontent, but I think it can be, first of all, I think that we should ask God to forgive us, you know, just say, Lord, I'm so sorry for being discontent, so sorry for grumbling and complaining. Would you please help me? Would you please change me? And I think it can help us see, too. I think we can get into this pattern where we're able to see a little more quickly when we're being discontent, a little more quickly when we're grumbling, a little more quickly when we're not honoring God by being content. So, yeah, I think that confession of it is very helpful.
And I know you've quoted C.S. Lewis a couple times. He has that wonderful quote. He says, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." That's Lewis, of course, was able to put that so clearly. I think that we're so easily pleased sometimes, but yet we're dissatisfied in everything that this world has to offer.
Yeah, C.S. Lewis had a way with words where he could just, in such a clear and simple way, articulate things that are so helpful. And I love that quote because what he's communicating is that some things are meant to be a reminder that this world really isn't our final home, and that we live in a fallen world, a world where things don't go right all the time, and that, you know, is full of sin and full of things being difficult. And it's just a reminder that ultimately this is not our home, and we weren't meant to be finally satisfied here. We were meant to be finally satisfied with Jesus Christ in heaven, and that's when all contentment will be erased and will be gone. And I love how Lewis puts it like that.
So is there a good discontent and a bad discontent?
Yeah, I think there is. I think the good discontent is when we are, well, I think there's a bunch of different good discontent. I think one is being discontent with our current, experience of God, where we just want to experience more of God, where we want to have more of his grace, we want to experience his power more, we want to have deeper fellowship with him. I think there can be a good discontent when we're just frustrated with our sin and frustrated that we see sin in our own lives, and we can be frustrated with it. I think it can also be a good discontent when we are ultimately thinking of our heavenly home and realizing that a day is coming when Jesus is going to return, and he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth, and all that's wrong and messed up and broken with the world is finally going to be fixed. And all these things that cause us to be discontent here, they're not going to be present after Jesus comes back. And so I think that's a healthy discontent when we're just waiting for that day, looking forward to that day when Jesus comes back, looking forward to the day when we're going to be free from sin, free from the battle of discontentment. Obviously, I think the unhealthy discontent is when we get so fixated on what we want and what we don't have that we become upset with God or angry at God or not believing that God is doing good to us. So, I think you're right. There's a good discontent and a bad discontent.
And it's not always things, is it, in terms of the bad? I mean, it's not just a matter of if I just had more, but it can be relationships or, work or any number of things.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't want to make it sound, and I want that to be clear. I'm glad you brought that up. I don't want to make it sound like this is just materialism that I'm talking about, because I think it's a lot deeper than materialism. I think that it can be really small things, too. I think that, for example, I have two little girls, ages 3 and 1, and I love them to death. They're two of my favorite people on the earth. But sometimes, as little kids do, they just get pretty crazy sometimes, and my house gets to be a loud, chaotic, messy, crazy place. And there's times when I just find myself just craving some peace and quiet and rest and relaxation. And those are the times usually when one of my girls is having a bad day and I'm just not getting what I'm wanting and I'm discontent, and I start to think, if only, my daughter's name is Karis, if only Karis could just be a little bit better behaved, and I start to get angry and upset. And I think those little things, I think that's where a lot of our discontentment comes, is from little things like that. Or another example is, for quite a while, I was having trouble just sleeping. I just could not sleep at night. And, sleep is obviously a gift from God, and we love sleep. Sleep's a benefit. And there was a point, though, where I just found myself, numerous points, just grumbling and complaining because I was tired. And rather than saying, God, I trust you, I know that you know what's best for me, I still was asking him to help me sleep. But when he didn't give it to me, I was just noticing this grumbling rising up in my heart. So I think it's all kinds of things. It's not just materialism. I think it can be our jobs. It can be our relationships. It can, you know, even be things in the church where we're just not happy with things how are at our church. So I think there's all kinds of areas this can come up.
Well, we're talking about it, and we'd invite you to join the conversation with Stephen L. Trauge, who has written the book called The Greener Grass Conspiracy, Finding Contentment on Your Side of the Fence. It's published by Crossway. Stephen is on the pastoral staff at Sovereign Grace Church in Indiana, Pennsylvania, and does some worship leading, working with college students, and has written this new book as part of our discussion today. Your calls are welcome, 877-93-FAITH. I've got three copies of the book to give away. You want to join our conversation, talk about your experience with contentment or discontentment. We'll get some more insight from Stephen in just a few minutes. 877-933-2484 is the number, 877-933-2484. Past the hour. Thanks for tuning in to Connecting Faith. I want to connect faith to life every day. That's one of our goals and objectives here in all that we do at Faith Radio. And one of the areas that we can grow in our faith is just being more content, more, well, finding our joy in who God is. John Piper writes a lot about that in his books, and we're talking a little bit about contentment today with Stephen L. Trauge. Stephen is on pastoral staff at Sovereign Grace Church, Indiana, Pennsylvania. He's pastor, one of the worship leaders there, working with college students, and has written a couple books. This is his latest, called The Greener Grass Conspiracy. It's Finding Contentment on Your Side of the Fence. And Stephen, I know in the book you talk about that our problems with discontentment is really a worship problem. Explain what you mean by that.
But what I meant by that was that all of us, like the way God has made us, is that we are, in a sense, we are wired for worship. And we are wired to worship things. And just by the way, we were made to worship God. And when I say worship God, I mean more than just sing to him. I mean a broader definition. We were made to live a life that honors God, where God is first, where our love for God is greater than our love for everything else, where we delight in God above everything else. This contentment happens when something other than God becomes the object of our passion and our worship and our affection, and we set all our desires on it, and we set all our love on it, and we move God away from that place where him and his will and his desires are first, and we want something else first and foremost. And so, you know, that can be any number of things. You know, we might have this dream about how our life is going to pan out, what kind of job we're going to be, and as our life goes along and that doesn't pan out, we can start to invest more and more love and affection toward just obtaining that one job that we desperately wanted, and instead of humbly submitting to God's will and saying, Lord, if you want me to have this, I know you'll give it to me. We begin to demand from God. We begin to give all our thought and all our energy toward getting what we want. And so that's where a worship problem happens, where we're worshiping something other than God. And that's really what discontentment is. It's a worship problem.
Well, I think we maybe wouldn't admit it, but maybe deep down we think about, well, you know, God's withholding from me, or God owes me. I mean, I don't know if we'd have to be, I guess, pretty quiet and honest to get to that point probably, but that's probably an underlying theme, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that there's these underlying beliefs that we have that we're not going to probably, you're right, I don't think we're going to come out and say them necessarily, but I think that we can have this, we can believe these lies that just aren't true, and that you mentioned a couple of them, like that God is withholding something from me, and we probably wouldn't put it that clearly, but when we're discontent, we're saying that God, you know, we know that God is God, and he does what he wants, and he's the one who gives and takes away. And when we're discontent, we're saying, God, you're not giving me something that I need. You are withholding something good from me. you're not being good to me, God. You're being unkind to me. And in the Bible, like in Psalm 84, it says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so we can take that promise and we can know that if something is good, God's going to give it to us. He loves us. He's our Father. He delights to give good gifts. And I think that it's a wrong attitude to have that, like, we have to sort of pry things out of God's hands. No, God loves to give things to us. And so when we have this, when we have discontentment in our hearts, we're saying, God, I think you're not being good to me. I think you're withholding from me. I want this thing. I think it would be good, and you're obviously not giving it to me. And that's just a lie, and I think we're prone to believe those kind of lies.
And as you've talked about, you know, being a parent with a couple of small children, you know there's something special about just being able to lavish love upon your kids, right? And we need to understand God's perspective in that in our lives as well.
Absolutely. I think it's so crucial to remember that God is our Father. And I've really been seeing this a lot lately just as I've been studying the Bible, that as, you know, we see it in our own parenting. As a dad, I love to give my kids gifts. It just blesses me. I love seeing their smiles. I love seeing the joy on their faces. And, you know, my little girl, Kara, she's only three, so she asks for a lot of things. You know, she's always asking for cookies and Oreos and candy and things that I love to give her, but I just, you know, there's times when it's just not good to give four Oreos to a little girl right before dinner, you know? And so there's times when I withhold that from her. But I love her, and I delight to give things to her, and I would be very saddened if she thought that I didn't like to give good gifts to her. And, you know, it says in James, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And God loves to give us perfect, good, wonderful gifts. And so if we don't have something that we want, I think we need to remember God is our Father. He knows exactly what we need. He'll give us exactly what's good for us, and he just delights in us. So I think that changes our perspective.
Getting some perspective today on contentment. Love to have you join the conversation. Got three copies of Stephen Altrogi's book that we'd happily give your way if you want to join the conversation today at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. Press 1 to connect with us on the show, and maybe you have a story about contentment or discontentment. I'd just love to find out, you know, how you have found praising God, maybe in the midst of it all, when others would recommend you be discontent. But you've addressed the greener grass conspiracy, and you found contentment on your side of the fence. Just love to have you join the conversation, 877-933-2484. Stephen, in the book, you talk about counting your blessings, an old Sunday school chorus you used to sing. What's your thoughts on counting blessings? Is that a useful thing to do?
Well, I think that, you know, that's a funny phrase, because I think sometimes that we, you know, we just break it out at the worst times. You know, we just, when someone has had something bad happen to them, you know, they've had, you know, a water pipe burst in their basement and ruin some of their possessions. At that time, you know, I don't think it's a very helpful thing to say, hey, just count your blessings. You know, you're lucky that you didn't have it worse. I think that's a little bit insensitive. But what I meant by that in the book is I think that there is value, real value, in stepping back and just surveying all the wonderful material blessings we have been given, particularly, you know, if you live in the United States or the Western world, we are rich. We are very, very rich compared to most of the world. And so I think it can be a helpful, just help me be content to step back and look at all that God has blessed me with. And that, wow, I have a wonderful wife. Wow, I have two little girls. I have a car that works that gets me to work. You know, it's not anything, it's not an amazing car, but man, I have a car. I have a clean house and a shower that's full of clean water, not water that's full of disease. And, you know, I have hands that work and fingers that work when so many people don't. So I think that there's a helpful sense where we can step back and just say, Lord, I am blessed by you. Thank you. Thank you for giving me these things. Because, you know, what the gospel tells us is that what the Bible tells us is that we don't deserve these blessings. because we've sinned against God. We've rebelled against God, and our rebellion against God, what it merits is the judgment of God. But instead, we've been forgiven of our sins. We've been brought into a relationship with God. Jesus' blood covers us, and then God blesses us. So I think it can just be a wonderful reminder to step back and say, Lord, man, I may not have everything that I want, but I have so much more than I deserve, and I'm so grateful for it.
Are there some maybe some warning signs when discontentment starts to creep in? I know you talked about your folks going on a cruise and I can certainly relate to. I mean, I think all of us probably can just tell the story about how we can grow in our discontentment sort of slowly over time.
Yeah, it's a funny story my dad tells. Many years ago, he and my mom, they won a cruise through a Christian television station. They won a cruise, and it was a great cruise. It was a luxury cruise, and he talked about going to the midnight buffet, and on the midnight buffet, there was just this incredible spread of food, shrimp, giant shrimp, lobster, all that you would expect on a cruise. And, at first when he was on the cruise, he was blown away by it. It was just a wonderful treat to have all these things and to enjoy these wonderful foods, lounging on the deck in the sun, the pool. But as time went by, as the week went on, he tells this funny story of sitting at the table one night with my mom, and he's eating this enormous shrimp. And he looked at my mom and he said, you know what? My mom's name is Christy. He said, you know what, Christy? I think it might be better, actually, if these shrimp weren't quite so big. And at that point, he just realized, what am I talking about? Here I am sitting in the lap of luxury on a cruise, and I'm talking about the shrimp being too big. And I think that that's a humorous illustration of how discontentment can creep into our lives, and we're sitting surrounded by blessing, surrounded by God's goodness, and we're complaining about the size of the shrimp. And sometimes we just need to lift up our heads from the buffet and just look around and see all that we have. And some of the signs, I think one of the most obvious signs that discontentment is present is complaining. I think that any time that complaining is taking place, no matter what it's about, I think that it's like smoke. Wherever there's smoke, there's fire. Wherever there's complaining, I think it's a pretty sure sign that we're discontent about something. So that's the most obvious one in my mind.
Think about that verse in Hebrews 3, right, about the sins not being hardened by sin's deceitfulness, that it creeps in steadily over time, and hardness can come if we're not careful.
Yeah, it really can, and I think that's why it's so important to be. I think discontentment and complaining can be one of those sins that we're just not particularly on the guard against. And complaining, it's not something that we talk about a whole lot. I think a lot of other sins kind of get more airtime, if you will. And I think complaining, it's a very serious sin, and I think we just need to guard against it slipping into our lives. And it's easy to, people just stand around the water cooler and they complain, and it's easy to do, and it's easy to join in, and I think it's just one we need to be on guard against.
Stephen L. Troge is my guest. He's written a new book called The Greener Grass Conspiracy, Finding Contentment on Your Side of the Fence, and we're going to continue to visit in just a moment and maybe provide some practical hands-on steps, some things that we can do today, maybe just to break that cycle of complaint. And we invite your calls as well at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Seven past the hour, and you are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and my guest today is Stephen L. Troge, who's written a book called The Greener Grass Conspiracy. We're talking about finding contentment on our side of the fence. Stephen, first steps or practical, here's some things that have worked for me when I find myself discontent, just to make some connection here so that we can apply some things today.
Yep, I think application is very important because it's easy to just talk about these things abstractly without any practical application. I think some simple first steps would be to maybe just take a step back and evaluate, are there any areas in my life where I'm staking all my happiness on getting something? Are there any particular areas where I feel like if I don't get this, I won't be happy? And that could be any number of things. And I think if when we discover those things and just taking them to the Lord and saying, Lord, would you forgive me, please, for holding on so tightly to these things? I know that my happiness is in you. And I ask that you would forgive me and I ask that you would please satisfy me, Lord. I ask that you would please give me joy in you. Because God really does want to give us joy. He wants to satisfy us. And so I think that can be a first step. And I think going to the scriptures, fighting discontentment with the promises of God is very important. And so there are many promises that are available to help us fight discontentment. And so, for example, if you are tempted, if you are discontent with your current financial situation, I think going to Hebrews where it says, keep your life free from the love of money, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And taking that promise and thinking about it and applying it and meditating on it and working through it in your own life and realizing that, okay, I may not have the perfect financial situation, but I do have Jesus with me. I have Jesus with me at all times, and thanking Jesus for that and, really applying that to the situation and keeping that in mind when you find yourself discontent. I think another one is Psalm 16, where it talks about, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. That's an incredible promise. But there could be fullness of joy in God's presence. So I think when we find ourselves discontent, I think we need to ask God to forgive us for it and then just go to his promises. Go to Psalm 16 and say, Lord, you promised to give me fullness of joy in you. So I'm asking, Lord, give me fullness of joy. Help me be content right where I am. Just help me find my satisfaction in you. And I think getting other people involved is very important, too, getting other Christians involved in your life. And so if you find yourself grumbling or complaining about a situation, tell that to a friend and ask them to help you through it, help you be accountable in it. Say, I'm just really tempted to be discontent here. I'm really tempted to think that I have to have this to be happy. And getting them just to pray for you, getting them to help you think through it, I think that those are a couple initial practical steps that could be helpful.
Good words today from Stephen L. Trogi, who has written a book called The Greener Grass Conspiracy, Finding Contentment on Your Side of the Fence. We've got a couple minutes here left before our time is gone. I want to take a call in just a moment and find out about some discontent issues. This is Sue, who is listening in at Faith 90.5, I think, in Twin Ports. Sue, go ahead. You're on with Stephen.
Good afternoon. I'm wondering if sometimes discontentment can also be a tool used by the Holy Spirit to say, hey, it's time to move on in whatever your discontentment is. And maybe you need to change your job. You're not really looking for something else, but you're discontent and you don't really know why. And could that not be a prompting from the Holy Spirit to just plain make some changes?
Good reminder, yeah. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that is definitely a possibility. And that's actually, unfortunately, from my perspective, I didn't talk about that issue too much in the book, and I wish I would have. I think you're right. I think that there can be times when the Holy Spirit, we send sort of a growing discontentment in our job or in a certain circumstance. And I think it's helpful to just analyze it a little bit, and not too much, but just to look at it and say, okay, what's causing this? And yeah, you're right. I totally think that maybe God could use that to move you out of a situation. There can be a place where God uses it to say, okay, I think it's time to move on to something else. I've got a different plan for you. And I think that's where the whole idea of holding things loosely comes in. And we just We take things to the Lord with open hands, and we say, God, this is what I'm sensing. If this is your will, I'm gonna start walking this way. If this is your will, wonderful. If you close the door, I'm content with that too. So I think it can be both ways. I think that's a great thought, a great question.
Hey, Stephen, before our time has gone, I went to your blog here, theblazingcenter.com. One of the things that caught my attention, 30 books every Christian should read. I know we're talking about your book, but you've got a good list of recommendations. Just talk a little bit about that list and why those are important books.
Well, what I tried to do is I tried to put together a list of books that, 30 books that I thought were very helpful books for every Christian to read. I realize that not every person is a reader. And so what you're going to find on that list, most of those books are not particularly academic or difficult. They're very accessible, and I would recommend them to every person in my church. So you're going to find many different subjects, books that will help you grow in your love for God, books that will help you grow in your understanding of what Jesus did on the cross, books that will help you grow in your relationships with others. I just wanted to compile a list of the 30 books that I thought would just be very helpful for every Christian to read them.
Hey, before we actually wrap up with one of the songs that the ministry has produced, and I think you or your father have written it or co-written it anyway, it's In the Presence, and just seems kind of appropriate that as we think about contentment, we talk about, you know, this being a worship issue, that the more that we see clearly who God is, that, you know, we get the right kind of perspective, our life becomes changed. Stephen, great to have you on with us today. And again, you can find out more about Stephen's writings at theblazingcenter.com. That's his blog. And the book is called The Greener Grass Conspiracy, Finding Contentment on Your Side of the Fence. Stephen, thanks so much. Blessings to you. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we'll listen to a little bit of the Sovereign Grace Church worship team. This is called In the Presence.
And I am presence of a holy God. The presence of your glory, all my crowns lie in the dust. Righteous in your judgments, Lord, you are faithful, true, and just. Thank you.
That's from Sovereign Grace Ministries. It's called In the Presence. And you're listening to Connecting Faith. Tomorrow, we'll visit with John Acuff. John Acuff had 8 jobs in the last 8 years. He's written about a book called Quitter, and we'll find out what that means. And offer some encouragement to follow the dream. Join us tomorrow, Connecting Faith at noon here on Faith Radio.